Second down and 8 for the Vikings. Cousins in the shotgun, ball at the 44 of the Vikings. He's got two receivers tight out to his left, Thielen alone to his right. Cousins drops back, looks right under pressure, throws it, intercepted at the 45. Eli Apple, he's going to return it all the way. He's going to walk in. I'm sorry, P.J. Williams, 45 yards on the return, and P.J. Williams in the Saints defense with a huge play here in Minnesota.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 0. I'm not drinking because I'm allergic to beer. The Saints are 4-0 so far on the road this season, with 3 of those wins being pretty impressive, right, Jason?
That's what I said, pretty impressive.
All right, well, considering the talent...
I believe I texted that to you.
You did. Considering the talent on this team and the heartbeat in the locker room, even when things seem like they might be difficult, the 2018 New Orleans Saints are a team that always finds a new way to win that fits the type of game that they find themselves involved in. This is one of those intangible elements that make up a special team or a special season.
The trick,
or treat, is making sure that none of your weak spots end up becoming an Achilles heel at the worst possible time. But for now, it seems that the Saints are playing complementary football with coaching that's able to adjust their scheme in the midst of the game, leaning on the plethora of weapons at their disposal. This week, revenge was on the mind of so many fans, and the Saints have brought more balance to the force by manhandling the Vikings in the second half. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all time, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with the 2.
Woohoo!
I'm down on location in Florida at the fabulous Saratoga Springs Resort. I thought I had brought everything to make transfusions down here, but I apparently forgot the grape juice. So I made a Red Bull and vodka, but I hate that it's got so much bite, so I happened to mix in a little diet ginger ale with it.
Yeah.
And it really gets rid of the bitterness of a Red Bull and vodka, so it's kind of tasty.
Oh, all right. Might be inventing a new thing.
Yeah, so
Red Donkey
in the hotel room. Oh, I like it. Renee's off at Animal Kingdom riding the Avatar ride.
Well, and also happy birthday is in order, right?
Yeah.
How old are you now? Welcome to the club.
Oof, I feel so, my legs hurt. I feel so old. 40 years old.
He's 40.
No, but offense, Jason, but you lost your hair at 25. I mean, you really, 40, I mean, you've been a ball-headed prick for 15 years now. The number really isn't really the problem.
I still got a baby face.
No, you don't. Baby face. Yeah, you have a baby face with no hair. That's right.
baby
have no hair. Correct.
Got a baby head.
Exactly.
All right, Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
I'm happy, Jeff. Woo!
Got a good little Vikings game there, huh?
Hell yeah. Let's get into the game, man.
All right, let's do it. Game recap.
Ken, if I never hear the M word again, I'll be... I was able to avoid it over the last year to as much as, you know, as any Saints fan could, but everything. There was a Minnesota miracle, Minnesota miracle. And look, you know what? It might have meant something if they had actually done something with it. So they went, of course, the following week and, you know, fucking got blown out by
Nick Foles.
The Eagles.
Right.
Right.
It was a miracle. It was a miracle. And I was thinking about that, too. Like, it was a miracle that they won a game that they shouldn't have won. Yes, that was the miracle. It was the fact that they had no business winning that game, which was evidenced by the fact that they got their asses handed to them the next week.
But you're 100% correct. Yeah, isn't that the Minnesota miracle? If you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, shouldn't you take that as, right, disrespect? We shouldn't have won that game. It was a miracle that we won.
Right.
We are a bad team that beat a good team. Right. That was the miracle. So, if, you know, fuck y'all.
So, and it was only proven even more right last night. Sunday night, well, and also, the Saints walk in and two drives in. I mean, two drives to get adjusted, get through all the scripted plays, make your adjustments.
Well, we still scored on the first drive.
Yeah, I was talking about 7-0. Defense.
Okay, well, yeah. You mean PJ getting adjusted?
Yeah. And you know, I know everybody rode him pretty hard last night and all that, but there is that question out there. Is it PJ or is it scheme? Is it a little bit of both? And I don't want that to be like the focal point of the game, but man, it was glaring.
Well, and think about it. Minnesota just went after, okay, where's PJ? Okay, that's where we're throwing.
Yeah.
Where's PJ? Where's Apple? I mean, look, as far as PJ Williams, but look at it from the other point, and I know he gets beat pretty bad on every game, but Thielen's a good wide receiver.
Yeah.
And that's where he lines up. I mean, you know, they pay him to play too. I mean, you know. Is every cornerback that gives up something to fucking Michael Thomas and Drew Brees sucky?
Yes.
Yes.
No. No. He makes them sucky.
Right. I mean, and again, look, there's a lot of bad defense going around the NFL these days. It's hard to play defense.
Yeah. But he just, it just was hard last night because you really just kind of had that sick feeling in the bottom of your stomach after the first two drives that, holy shit, they're going to score on every drive tonight because all they got to do is throw it at PJ.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happened, right? I mean, adjustment.
I would like to take some credit for that. So we were down. It was at the end of the first half, and I left. We went off site to eat and watch the game. I left with about like a minute and 45 left because I wanted to get back to the beginning of the second half. So I missed the fumble, the bring back, the Kamara touchdown to take the lead. I missed all that.
Hmm. All right. And look, I've been listening to the talk, the national talking heads today, and they were, you know, and several pointed out how, yeah, look, that was a huge point in the game.
Yeah.
Minnesota was in the red zone. We're going to go up a minimum of three, if not, you know, another seven, and that changed the game. And no shit. Fumbling changes good. Football games. Returns, you know, turning the ball over changes football games.
That's why That's why you go for a positive ratio on the turnover.
Right, right. Coach Payton has preached that since he's been here, that, you know, one of the easiest determination of wins and losses is the turnover.
Right.
And that's always been the case. But, not only, okay, but there's, in my opinion, there's two things you can take out of that. Not only, okay, turning the ball over, but what you do with the turnover.
Yeah.
And what did the Saints do with the turnover?
Scored 14 points.
Minnesota got one interception off of the great Drew Brees, and what'd they do with it?
They turned it back over.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, turnovers.
Which, by the way, talking heads, to your point, Damon, is you're right. Like, okay, so Minnesota, they're saying, oh, that's the old turnover. Yes, but guess what? All that did was right or wrong. You know what I mean? It was our ball to begin with. They got the turnover. All that did was put it back in our hands. So now we're as though we never turned it over.
Right, right. But again, right. But it's what we do with the ball, right? We scored 14 points. They gave it back to us. So we're clearly better than the Minnesota Vikings. God help them if they make the playoff in that shit division and have to come to the Superdome.
Oh yeah.
That'd be nice. It'd be nice if the Rams lose that week, too. So, with whatever game they're playing, you know.
But, hey, Rams, fuck the Rams. We're getting the one seed. Fuck
well,
them.
Again, we'll get to them.
Well, obviously. Yeah, get to them.
Yeah. But, look, what was, you know, Drew Brees, 120 yards.
And we won, I mean, pretty convincingly. I know at the end of the game, like, my asshole was still clenched because I was still nervous at the end. But, I mean, the whole second half, like after that, after the pick six, it's like, okay, we got it.
To Jason's point, and the game wasn't as close as the final score said. And it was a double-digit victory, which is big in the NFL. On the road, in a hostile environment, a double-digit win is big, and that game wasn't as close as the final score.
Because the last seven, we gave it to them. in that fourth quarter. I mean, that was a prevent defense. We can't – apparently we think prevent means let them go all the way.
Well, but they did force them to spend a little more time this
time. Yeah, that's true.
Right. And you're right. And that's what it was, right. We were playing a clock-eating defense.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Let them complete the pass.
Time is not on your side, pal.
Right.
I mean, they definitely had the game plan that they wanted to execute going into the game, and they did. I mean, the fact that Breeze only threw 120 and we won is just—it's another different way that we won a football game.
Yeah,
right.
You have.
I mean, it's not 100 yards. It's not like rushing. We're just gonna throw it and throw it all over the place and score 37 points. Like, no, it's crazy.
And Jason, let me put your point up.
Ingram's average is 4.8 per carry. I didn't notice Ingram ran as well as he did as the game went on until I look at the box score at the end and I'm like, holy shit, he ran 5 yards per carry.
Right? Like, I looked at it, him and Kamara had the same number of carries. If you'd have told me, I was like, yeah, Kamara ran the ball much better than Ingram last night.
Yeah.
And you look at this.
And that is not true. Right.
How long have I been preaching this to y'all about Ingram and about his, it's his yards per carry, not his total yards?
Oh, yeah. It's all about the and they really fed it to him towards the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, because that's what we want to do.
Because we had the lead. Yep.
Eat the clock. And when was the last time we did this, fellas? Where we could really eat out the clock at the end of a game.
A Super Bowl year.
2009.
Mm-hmm.
2009 with Bell. Y'all remember, that's what that is winning football. This team right here, the 2018 Saints, are the top three Saints team in New Orleans Saints history. As far as, good and being able, like to Jason's point a while ago, we have our game plan and we're going to come in and we're going to bully you and we're going to be aggressive and we're going to be, a physical football team.
And another element of that is Taysom Hill.
Okay.
It's his first pass. We knew it was going to come. We didn't know when, but we knew he could throw. And boy, did he. Beautiful 44-yard pass.
No, great adjustment and coming back by Michael Thomas. Did he actually make the catch? He should have made the catch.
He did.
He probably did, but with the penalty anyway, it didn't matter.
Right, it didn't matter. But
and Minnesota had already burned their first challenge.
Right. Well, like you said, it wouldn't have mattered because it wouldn't have mattered at all because, like you said, we'd have just gone ahead and taken the penalty then,
Mm-hmm.
But it was in his hands. I mean, come on, it was in his hands. It was a good throw by Hill.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you had 6 weeks of him always running the ball, so at some point we're gonna let him throw it.
No,
and that was early, right? That was the first drive he did that on, and then the rest of the game though he didn't really do too much. They had his
number. No. He's a gadget player.
He caught another pass.
He caught a pass, right? But he ran the ball three times. He got negative two on the night.
Okay. I mean, that's fine.
I'm not dissing, but what I'm pointing out is, at this point in the game, we've got to get a little more creative than run the same play every time, whether he's just going to hand off or keep it himself.
Yeah, it's called. We're gonna have him throw the ball.
Well. Let's do that more. And, all right, so what was the play? Was it the touchdown play that they had all three quarterbacks on the field at the same time?
Yeah, I don't know what they were supposed to do.
What the fuck was that? Like, if you're not telling them you're running it.
I don't know. You got three quarterbacks. You could toss it back to one quarterback. He throws it over to the other quack. He throws it to the third quarterback.
Right. Well, I mean, maybe not that. But that's what Doug had said to him. And I was speaking today. And he said, sometime during the year, that's what they're going to do. It's going to be – Hill's going to be under center. He's going to throw like a wide receiver screen to Breeze, and Breeze is going to air it out.
To Bridgewater.
Yeah. Now, that would be fun. That would be awesome.
It's like the trifecta.
That would be one of the greatest. Like, three quarterbacks start the ball.
That's Sean Payton. You know what that is? That's his Super Bowl play. The onside
ambush.
Kick.
Right.
That's his ambush play for 2018.
All right. Hill takes it, gives it to Breeze, And then we pass it to Bridgewater.
All right.
But
keep going.
Wait a second. Defense. We got to talk about
Lattimore.
Defense that got pressure. What?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no. Defensive Rankin, line, yep.
Rankin's two sacks.
Davenport,
rookie.
Two sacks.
Davenport, two sacks and pressures. That interception for the pick six, that was caused by the pressure from Davenport.
Mm-hmm.
Cousins was under pressure. He was rolling to the He wasn't rolling. He was trying to escape to his right.
And thank goodness, that was where the one occasion where P.J. Williams' suckitude worked in our favor. Like, he over.
I kind of thought the same thing.
Yeah, he kept
that
going.
Was not the good job, P.J. That was, oh, shit, I'm in the wrong spot. Oh, thank God.
Well, all the talking heads, they were blaming that interception on, I think it was Diggs.
Yeah, he stopped his route.
They all kept saying he stopped, that he should have continued his route.
Yeah.
That's what Cousins thought.
Yep.
And so, like you said, did PJ...
No, in a sense, PJ played the right... Well, the stop, I mean, you don't know when a guy's going to stop, so yes, you're going to over-pursue, and that's why Diggs stopped. It's just he wasn't... I mean, Cousins didn't know he was going to stop. He thought he was going to keep going, so PJ was in the right position at the right times, and at least he had enough awareness, give the guy credit, right, to say, oh, shit, here's the ball in my hands, and he doesn't drop it. Like,
right, he actually caught it.
Yeah. Was that him that dropped it in the end zone as well earlier in the game? Yeah. There was a missed interception. Yeah. So twice he found himself in a position.
But man, that one of those Rankin sacks where he hesitated at first off the line, and then he just went straight on at the center.
Oh,
bull
yeah.
rushed him, knocked him straight into the quarterback. It was like, Jesus.
And he was like wrapped up. He was like, la, la, la. It was like gobbled him up.
Like that was the rank. Like, if we have that Rankins now, like, good googly. Like, I mean, think about it. Like, you know, I mean, Jordan plays great and he gets double teamed a lot of games. But man, if you can get that out of Rankins, and now, I mean, Davenport with two more sacks. I mean, yeah. And look, obviously he didn't force the fumble, but I mean, it was right there. Like, that was almost another massive, massive play. Just, you know, crazy to get that out of a rookie.
Yep. If we, I'm not saying anything revolutionary here, but if we can get pressure with our defensive lines, that helps your cornerback play, no doubt. If the quarterback doesn't have 5 seconds to sit back there, you know, that helps your cornerback play out so much. And you're right.
Huge.
That's why we traded to get Davenport, because we needed more pressure. You know, I mean, Coach Payton said this. This isn't anything, you know, we're not doing anything sneaky. This is things he said. And one more thing about P.J. Williams, that just shows how much, and I don't know how much losing P-Rob.
It means a lot. Like I said last week, it's big. I mean, look, we signed him. We're paying him $5 million a year to be that slot guy.
Right.
Especially after the trade for Apple. Like, shit, if we still had P-Rob and you're looking at Lattimore and Apple and P-Rob, yeah.
That's strong. But anyway, defense played well. I'm not, you know, if you look at the stats after the game, and all the stats favored Minnesota, but one.
The most important one.
Well, the final score.
Well, but actually, we held them under 100 yards rushing.
That's what the Saints do.
Yeah.
Right.
So going back to that as well, like this, that's been our defense. Well, everything's been our defensive kryptonite.
Right.
But that stopping of the run is a big
100%. They wanted to stop the run and make Kirk Cousins one-dimensional. And luckily, you know, that's not what teams do with the Saints. You don't want to stop the run and then say, fuck you, Drew Brees, beat me.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
we were going to do that anyway, actually. That was the game plan.
No,
fell into our trap.
Yeah, and DeMario Davis continues to be fucking great.
What a
great signing.
This guy. He's becoming one of my favorite players to watch.
Yes. I have two rules. From now on, the Saints should have two rules. Select the highest player in the draft from Ohio State. And then anytime there's a linebacker from New York
Jets.
That are available. You know, final grade.
Take the Jets, Bobby Beckins at linebacker.
Right, right. I mean, that would be my draft strategy. And
I think Apple, yeah, they picked on Apple because he had 4 days of practice. But right. I still think Apple did better than Ken Crawley did against Baltimore, and better than Ken Crawley probably would have done in just the 4 days. And, yeah, they're going to pick on him, but I thought he did admirably, all things considered.
Right. Like you said, someone said earlier, no one plays defense in the NFL anymore. Okay, guys? I mean, the rules and everything are meant to – high scoring, moving the ball. So, you know, give everybody a little grain of salt. And Jeff, yeah. you are correct. Think about it. Ken Crawley went from starter a week ago to not even active 7 days later.
Right.
Not even active.
So how about them apples? You see what it did?
I did. But, I mean, it was a big win. I was nervous going in. I'm not going to lie. Hostile place. Minnesota is a good team.
They were amped up. I mean, they were as prepared for this game, especially the fam. This was – they were confident. I think they came into this game I thought they would be a little more nervous knowing that they never should have won that game and that they realize, oh, shit, they're going to kick our ass because we deserve it. But they walked in with their noses in the air. I mean, they really believed their own hype.
Well, look, the Vikings are a good team. It's not like they're a shit team. But, I mean, they played up that goddamn miracle nonsense, and Mike, fuck the Falcons, he went up to the game with a couple of guys, and he said, like, they played that video like 3 or 4 times before the game.
Oh, no.
Like,
hey, that thing,
like,
come
like,
on.
They,
I mean, look,
like, they
we
went
do
all
the same
in
thing
that.
In the dome. We do the same thing in the dome, you know. I mean, you I mean,
yeah,
you,
but
you definitely,
but to your earliest.
We troll them.
I know, but it's for me, it's kind of like, I get it because of what it was at the moment. But the fact that you got embarrassed the next week, like, that's not right. The moment you want to repeat.
Well, the only thing I would say is that the team, like we said earlier, you really shouldn't have won, and you want to piss them off right before the game? Really? You want to focus them right before the game?
Right.
That was your strategy?
That was the other thing. The Saints tried to act like it's not about revenge. This is not about, oh, bullshit, motherfucker. Because in the post game, that's all y'all talked about. Was, oh, this felt good. This was the one we were waiting for. Really? I thought it was not about it. I love it. But I love that they have that discipline. I love that this team is, you saw Cam Jordan's post game interview talking about how this is a team, man. These guys are it's that special intangible in the locker room, like we were saying, the heartbeat. They're all out with each other. No selfishness on this team.
God, I'm drawing a blank here. Our strong safety with the gray hair, super
Roman
gray
Harper.
Hair.
Roman Harper.
Sorry, Roman Harper does something for Channel 6, and they asked him about it, and he said one of the things is, I feel this team had the same thing we had in 2009, that they love each other, that.
Well, it's because they all
back.
Played college ball together at Ohio State.
It is true.
We're doing the things with Ohio State that Urban Meyer couldn't do.
Speaking of Roman Harper, Mike and Angry Hudat and Raph went out to a bar after the game to celebrate, and they ran into Roman Harper.
Oh.
And took pics with him, yeah.
This is a special team, fellas. I'm more excited right now this year after a 6-game win streak than I was last year after our 8-game win streak.
Yeah, well, and like the way the you know, you did it on the road, the different ways that you won. You know, right. There is something about this team, and another thing about the game, like Will Lutz was money last night.
Oh yeah,
having the confidence in him to be like, yeah, well, yeah, kick a 52-yarder. Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
So,
like, just having the faith to have that. Cause, you know, those were big, those field goals when we kind of stalled out a little bit and still getting the points right there to stay in it when we were down in the first quarter. Like, I mean, that's huge.
I think maybe that was it, right? Where last year, even though we weren't, it felt more one-dimensional. Like, we had one way to win. Where this year, like you're saying, I mean, it's whatever we need to do to win, we're able to do.
And we're actually following through. Like, Peyton Shawn's actually following through with that, sticking to the smart plan.
Yeah. Yeah, he's actually adjusting and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
All right. Okay, let's move in, because obviously there's going to be a few more about the game, and to look at him tweets. Alrighty, the first tweet comes from Big Easy Guy John, and it's a combination of two tweets that I'm going to read. The first tweet said, "Revenge is a dish best served scold." Eh?
Eh? Scold.
All right, and then he said, here's the question. What do you think is the reason our two-minute defense is so soft? Secondary, pass rush, play calling. Also, is PJ out of the doghouse officially?
We forgive PJ. As far as why I think I'm going to say it. I think it's scheme why our two-minute defense is that soft. They're different sort of prevents. Again, there was something kind of right before the game, Rex Ryan had made a comment, because, of course, everybody talked about the M-word. And Rex Ryan had said that, and look, you can defy Rex Ryan, say he's a loudmouth or whatever, but the son of a bitch knows football, and he knows defense, okay? I'm talking about Rex.
Right.
Again, you can defy him or whatnot, but, you know, the time with the Jets and the Bills, but he knows defense, and he was saying that, look, that was, last year that happened on that final play, that there was no over-the-top safety help, and he said, you know, that's not how you call that defense for that time.
Right.
So, again, look, I'm not going to pretend like I know the intricacies of play calls, but I will trust the professionals, and I can see that, right. There was no help behind PJ last year, so, you know, where was the...
All right.
So I'm going to go with why we're soft. I'm going to say that, Allen's play calling isn't always
the best.
You know, put this in the best position to win.
All right. Next tweet comes from DJZ or DJs. Says, PJ Williams has more touchdowns this season than Julio Jones. Just want to point that out, I guess. Next one, Law of Numbers, says, has an NFL side ever had three quarterbacks on the field for one play? Going back to the three quarterback thing.
Right.
I'm not aware that it has ever happened.
I mean, maybe back in the 40s when guys played all positions, but, I mean, I have no idea. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. So he also said, strength of the Saints this season is our ability to find ways to win. Our offense is elite. Special teams been fantastic. Run defense is the best in the NFL. If we can stop conceding big plays and stay healthy, we're as good as anyone. No question in there. Just a comment.
No, you're the statement. No. And 100% right. And look, we are as good as anyone in the league. This team is as good as anybody in this league.
And we'll get to the Rams, because I think that's the big question mark. Which,
well, again, well, right, that'll be game preview.
Right. So, all right, Doug says, this is talking about the Rams, Los Angeles fan support sucks. The Rams game feels like, hey, Fatty McGee, you want to quit breathing so heavy into the microphone? All right.
That's not me.
I'm not doing anything.
It's Jason.
I might have got some pixie dust in the way, all right? Settle down.
Oh, you still doing that?
But I like the rail.
Why?
It's fun.
If you want, I could go on the back porch and you can hear the buses roaming around, no, but I didn't feel last year.
No.
I can really.
We don't need to hear the buses.
Okay.
Doug says LA fan support sucks. This Rams game feels like a home game for the Packers, but with hot weather. He said the crowds are at best evenly split, if not more, for the Packers. I may be silly, but I'm not afraid of either the Rams or the Packers.
Did you see that field too?
Oh, with the Rams thing painted
with the USC from the night before. It was hysterical. But, I mean, we knew that when they went to L.A. I mean, everybody that lives in L.A. is from somewhere else. Right. You know, the Rams have been gone for 20-something years. You know, the Chargers had the same problem. I mean, they only play in a 30,000-seat stadium. And you know, they left San Diego, and a lot of people are pissed. So they're just like, all right, fuck you. Y'all going to take them? Fine. And it's all road fans. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but the other thing about yesterday in particular, though, was the Rams, or Los Angeles, the city, had an NFL game, an NBA game, a baseball game,
World Series
game, a hockey game, and a Major League Soccer game, all happening in the city of Los Angeles on Sunday. I mean, granted, they have enough people to fill every one of those venues.
Holes.
Right. Yeah, they do.
You know, the NFL screwed up. The NFL should have put the Raiders and the Rams in L.A. And, yeah, their fan support is terrible, but the Raiders have more support in L.A. than the Chargers do.
Yeah. So
the Rams and Raiders should have went back to L.A. because there is a history, and the Chargers should have went to a new venue in Las Vegas, who they're going to love whoever you give them.
I'm not sure what Doug
Yeah, I don't know how we Green got off on that tangent.
The Chargers in Vegas, but okay.
Pixie dust.
All right, let's get on with Dr. Hudat says, I'm making my first trip to New Orleans this Sunday against the Rams. We'll have Saturday tour the area while planning to tailgate all day Sunday. Do you guys have any can't-miss spots to check out in the Big Easy? So where do you want to send Dr. Hudat?
Jesus.
Saturday. You're going to send him to the standard tourist destinations, or are you going to try to send him off the beaten path?
No, he should go find a sports bar to watch the LSU-Alabama game.
Yeah, that's true. That'll be any
Saturday night. No, not really. No, his first trip to New Orleans, look, like I said, you have to do the French Quarter. You know,
I would do it during the day, though. Do the French Quarter during the day.
No doubt. And again, not just Bourbon Street. I'm talking about the French Quarter, walk down Charters and Royal and, you know, see.
All the other side streets, yeah.
Right. But yes, you have to walk down Bourbon because it is Bourbon, and yes, it is, you know, I got it. Then I would suggest going to Drago's and having some char-grilled oysters, you know. The food necessarily isn't great. It's okay, but just at least get an appetizer of oysters.
I would say go there and get some oysters and then dinner at Giacomo's. I always send people to Giacomo's. That's my spot. I mean, okay, that would require him to get on the streetcar and take it. That's a streetcar.
No,
this is 2018. It's called Uber.
Well, no, I think a streetcar ride would be more New Orleansy than taking an Uber.
So he can take it down St. Charles and go to Cuda Brown's to watch the game.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fun. You get some raw oysters there.
Right. Yeah. Well, and if you're going to take the streetcar, I'd say go to Vincent before go to Giacomo's.
Ooh, yeah, Vincent is good.
Yeah, you know. So that is, I think, yeah, walk around the quarter, man.
What's your price tag on Vincent?
It's the entrees are like probably 25.
The what?
The entree is 25.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, if you're there, you know, you and then I guess he's bringing his wife. I mean, yeah, I don't know. He can get out of there.
Well, it's not super expensive. It's not cheap going to Applebee's cheap.
No. Well, no, he's on vacation. You don't worry about money on vacation. That's a sin.
That's true. You live there.
I know from experience.
But, all right, so bars Saturday besides what he's going to drink as he's kind of going about, like I wouldn't stay in one place the whole time.
Yeah. I don't have a bar downtown. That, you know, yeah. Grab a drink to go. You ask for a go cup. You're in New Orleans.
That's
right.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask for a to go cup. In fact, when you're downtown in the quarter, they're probably going to serve it to you in a go cup because they
right.
So, any, I feel like anytime you pass a bar, just go in just so you could get it to go cup and bring it out.
Yeah. There you go.
But yeah, no. But right, that's the warehouse district right there, Fulton Street. That's a nice area, you know. Yeah, walk around and enjoy the, you know, hopefully the weather will be nice for you and you can, it's getting cooler here. We had a little cool streak this week, you know, that's nice.
Okay, guys, all you gave me was bars and restaurants. We need something to do that's besides that. I mean, do y'all recommend him going to like the, what is it, the Blaine Kern Mardi Gras World? Is that something you gotta?
Oh, I mean, you want, yeah, I mean, but that's very touristy. I mean, I'd recommend the best nationally ranked museum, the World War II Museum.
If not particularly
New Orleansy, you know, I mean.
But if you like.
But that's a great museum.
World War II. He could do one of those riverboat cruises on like the Natchez or something. That's 2 hours.
I hate seeing
I don't like shit like that.
Yeah. I hate being trapped for the 2 hours. I mean,
I'm just going to throw. Stupid idea, Jason. Fuck that idea.
Fuck Jason.
God damn it, Jason. God damn it. Every.
No. Well, again, but that's what. Like I said, take a streetcar ride to Vincent.
Yeah.
Go down St. Charles. That's good. Oysters at Drago's.
I'm gonna tell you something touristy that we did one time that I looked at and I liked the haunted walking tour down around French Quarter and stuff. That's fun and educational. Well, I don't know how much education. It's a haunted tour about ghosts, whether or not you believe in it. But it's a neat historical tour. Like, you talk about the history of stuff.
It's not so much
about the actual ghosts, but they do tell you about the story behind the building. Like, you end up at, I think, one of the stops, the one we were at, was at the Jean Lafitte's bar. And you
Lafitte's blacksmith shop is the oldest bar in the city.
Right. I would, if you want to grab a drink, it's a little past... One street past St. Anne on Bourbon. I would go there. It's on the
Elysian Field side of Bourbon. It's all the way on the other side, away from all the razzmatazz.
One street past St. Anne.
Next tweet comes from Davis Douglas, and he says, halfway through the season on the Saints, who would you put as MVP, best rookie, most improved, biggest surprise, and biggest disappointment? So let's start halfway through the season. Give your little Domi awards. MVP goes to
Drew Brees, the GOAT.
Brees for MVP.
Easily. His numbers, one interceptions, 14 touchdowns, 77% completion rates. That is stupid. If he finishes the fucking year, pardon my friend, with 75% completion, is dumb. That is just insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
All right.
How do you complete... basically almost eight out of 10 passes.
You be Drew Brees. That's how you do it. You be Drew Brees. Drew Brees. All right, best rookie.
Yeah.
Davenport.
I mean, yeah.
And the limited, we've had a limited sample size. Peyton even addressed it last night. Someone asked him about, you know, that. Look, the more Davenport's playing, the better he is. What's up with that? And Peyton said, look, as far as Okafor goes, he just, you know, sometimes you fall in love with the guy because he knows his assignment. He knows it, you know. And that's why Davenport hasn't really gotten in a lot. But Davenport is really proven to be, you know.
He's earning.
He looks like it was worth trading up to get him. He looks like a real legit pass rusher.
Right. Again, four sacks with limited playing time. He's on pace for maybe eight. Sacks, and more if he gets more playing time, maybe double digits.
Wow. Yeah, look, and that's all we asked for. We said, God, if he gets eight sacks, geez, like, that's it. That's all we need.
All right, most improved.
And, I mean, look, we don't...
About Davenport?
Well, I just was going to say... No, I was going to say, I mean, we don't have a ton of rookies this year on the roster, but Traquan did have a couple of nice catches last night.
But he hadn't... I don't think he's done enough to get the...
No.
But you're right.
We all don't have to agree. If you want to go Traquan, you can.
No, he's not, but I get what he's saying.
No, I'm all right.
All right.
I haven't snorted that much pixie dust yet.
All right. Most improved.
I'm going to say, how about if I said Rankins, what would you think?
I was thinking that. The last couple of games especially, just coming on strong, finding his place.
What about Taysom?
I mean,
he was on the team
last
year.
You don't really have anything, a frame of reference with Taysom.
Okay, it doesn't mean he's not improving.
We don't have to all agree.
No, you do.
That's right.
No.
we'll have to agree.
Yeah, right.
The Domi goes too. You can't give two Domis.
Okay. I'll go with Taysom.
Go with Taysom for biggest surprise.
100%. Yes. Well, that's biggest surprise. Definitely Taysom Hill. 100%. Yes.
Okay.
We knew
about
him last year, and he was only on special teams, and you know he's making special team tackles and that. I didn't think that he'd actually be behind center. How many snaps has Taysom Hill had this year? 20?
A lot.
I think at least.
If I'd have told you this year Taysom's not going to have 20 snaps, you'd have told me I was nuts.
Right. That's yeah. So biggest surprise, this has to be him.
Well, here's my biggest surprise, the fact that our pass defense sucks again. Our defensive backs suck again. That's my biggest surprise.
Oh, no, we suck again.
Yeah.
Well, see, Jason, it's like you keep your one ahead. Like you're going a little too fast again because the next one is biggest disappointment.
And Kirk Coleman. Why did we pay that motherfucker $5 million a year? Why? That continues to not make sense to me. That's my biggest disappointment.
Because every year we have to have a guy that we pay an obscene amount of money to do nothing. We're a very charitable organization. We're saints.
We yes, we're Jesus. Yes, we are.
Did you say Jesus? All right, and now it's time for the segment within a segment. It's one that we love to call Taste of a Diss. So let's take the city. Our souls are singing. Can you feel the fire in your bones? And it is our weekly Taysom Hill tweet.
Is that the most improved segment of the year?
Yeah, it's the biggest surprise segment of the year.
Okay.
And this week, the Taysom of this tweet comes from Scott Greenbaum. And he says, Taysom Hill finally threw the ball. And he even caught a pass. I wonder what the Vikings thought when we had all three quarterbacks on the field at the same time for the goal line play. LOL. So we kind of
They knew we were going to run it. They knew that was distraction. They knew we were going to run it.
Yeah.
Not a fan of the three quarterback. You know, and again, unless is what I said
until
earlier.
It works. Until we score a touchdown.
Well, like I said, not until what I said earlier. We're going to run it a couple of times and lure other teams into a false insecurity, and then Hill's going to throw it to Breeze, and Breeze is going to bomb it to him.
We'll hit him where it counts. All right,
bomb it to Bridgewater.
So that's our look at them tweets. It's now time for Pick'ems. It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain, you can't take it. I'm in control.
Yep, 2-3 across the board, even though we all pick different games. Jeff and I won Philly. Damon picked the London Jaguars, which we lost. Damon was the only one to pick Carolina, who really beat the shit out of Baltimore, which is shocking. You two picked Green Bay, which is smart. I thought the Rams would cover.
It was 9 points, dude. That's what you
I didn't think Green Bay was that good, but some of their receivers got back. We all took Detroit, and we all got crushed.
What the fuck are we thinking? Because we hate Seattle.
That's it. That's it. Maybe. And then I was the only one to pick Arizona, who came from behind to beat Frisco.
Yeah.
So out of the three of us, Jeff is still in first, 26-13. Damon is in second, 20-19, still above 500, but now just a game. And I'm last, 18-21, two games behind Damon.
That's right. In the larger league,
three games under 500.
In the larger league, Dave Brink takes the lead with a 724 winning percentage, followed by Life of Ty, Ryan Angier, Miso Mad, Saints Fan, UK, Who Dat Fits, Drew, Jake, me, Big Easy Gajon, Davis Douglas, EJ, Who Dat Fish, B Bradley, Nola, Saints Europe, DJs, Emmanuel 80, Wheels, Who Dat Chris, James, Preston Allen, Clown Baby, Ash, Chris McGuire, Gerald Booty, Dr. Who Dat, Giovanni Turner, Alex Barbie, Ben Wright, Bull Smith, Fuck the Falcons, Tom Ensign, Josh Otter, Matt Pryor, Damon, finally, Christian Mino, Ven Greenbaum, Mordecai, Ryan Cummings, Todd Bourgeois, Sanctuary, Desi, Doug, then Jason, Eric J. Woo-hoo! Bird, Random Thoughts, Wayno, Triple D Kennels, Neil, and Sans Hobbs. Boy,
I feel like I gained a spot or two.
You did. You gained a few. But Neil, wow. What the hell?
Thanks, Neil. Thanks, Neil.
All right.
He got distracted by all that London football.
Yeah, Neil is 15-19.
Ooh. All right, moving into week 9. Got a good slate of games. It was tough to find a shitty game because there weren't really shitty games, but we'll get to that later.
They're the great shitty game on Thursday night you couldn't use.
Yeah,
can't take it. All right, our first game, the AFC North, Pittsburgh Steelers, coming off a win against Cleveland, who fired their coach and offensive coordinator today. And apparently the last few Cleveland coaches have been fired after the second Pittsburgh game of the season. Weird how that
works. Well, I don't know. Well, can I'm sorry. Can we stop right here and talk? I mean, because it is we didn't do an NFL reach around, which we used to do. But why do you keep Hugh Jackson after 131 and then fire him in the middle of the fucking season?
Maybe they wanted some carryover with like Baker coming in. You wanted, I mean, I don't know. To me, you get a rookie quarterback, just start fresh and find a guy. But maybe they wanted some stability. But apparently him and Todd Haley had issues getting along, and that's why they fired both of them.
Well, they fired both of them.
Well, because they didn't agree with each other. Like, they were causing, they didn't. Apparently, they were causing friction, and they didn't want any of this nonsense to screw up anything that they got going on with Baker. So now fucking Greg Williams is their interim head coach.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Which is, you know, what you said to Baker Mayfield. Because at least Hugh Jackson is a offensive coach. I don't know why. And then you got rid of Haley. So what the fuck are you...
You're trying to protect Baker Mayfield, and you fire the two offensive guys and make the defensive guy your head coach.
Right. No, I mean, that's why fucking Cleveland is the place that quarterbacks and dreams go to die.
Classic Cleveland.
I mean, it's just...
You thought we fucked up by keeping him. Now watch us fuck up when we fire him.
Well, again, you should have fired him in the offseason. You're going to fire him during the middle to see what the fuck. But like I said, I don't know. I mean, I feel bad for Baker Mayfield. Look, I'm pulling for the kid. He's an underdog. We all pull for underdogs. And it doesn't make any sense. Once again, Cleveland being Cleveland.
Well, maybe after a few years and they let him go, and if we're in the market for a quarterback, we can grab him up. You know, Sean Payton and him get along.
If they ain't damaged him enough.
Right.
Who they playing? So, side tangent, Pittsburgh is traveling to Baltimore and play the Ravens. We're coming to back-to-back losses against NFC South teams. Ooh. Really shocked at the score from Baltimore and Carolina this week.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the spread, Jason?
This game is in Baltimore, and the Ravens somehow are favored by 3.
Well, they're at home. I mean, that makes sense. These are division rivals, you know? I mean...
standard kind of pick them in spread world.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, really. Yeah, did division rivals saying that, you know.
As far as I know, still no Le'Veon Bell for Pittsburgh. Because initially, I thought he was going to be reporting around this time, and I don't think he's reported yet.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm taking Pittsburgh. I think they're going to win outright.
I'm taking
Pittsburgh as well.
I'm going to take the Ravens at home against a division rival.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our second game, the Los Angeles Chargers coming up really in good shape in their division, although they are looking at Kansas City. Travel to Seattle to play the Seahawks, who beat Detroit on the road pretty handily last week. Mm-hmm. This game is in Seattle, playing in the memory of their late owner, Paul Brown. And
Paul Allen.
Is that what I said? Paul Allen? What did I say?
No, Paul Brown. Paul Brown.
Paul Brown. Whoops.
Started the Cleveland Browns.
Sorry. It was all that Cleveland talk. So this is in Seattle, and they're favored by 1.5. I'll go first. I'll take the Chargers.
This is a tough one because if they're at, this is their first home game since Paul Allen died. Is that going to be enough to motivate them to...
No, they didn't know him.
Okay, then I'm taking the Chargers, too.
The Chargers the Seahawks have fucked me every time we've taken a game with them. I either didn't take them when I should have or took them when I shouldn't have. I like the Chargers. I'm a Charger fan. Let's make it a L.A. three-way.
Not the freeway, but the L.A.
freeway, that's what I meant.
All right, our next game, the one all the media is going to be jerking off to, the Green Bay Packers coming off that loss to the Rams, travel to New England, who play the Pats, who are currently down 3-0 to the Bills on Monday night. This is the Sunday night game.
Oh, they're going to jerk off to these two quarterbacks. Everybody knew about it.
Yeah, so that at the end of the game. So it's in Foxborough, and the Pats are favored by 6.5.
Oh! You know what? Give me the Packers and the Pernts.
I am also going with the Packers and the Pernts.
There's not going to be any separation, guys. I'm taking the Packers and the Pernts. I learned my lesson last week. I should have taken the Pernts with them last time.
Fuck, we could take the Patriots.
Yeah, no shit, huh?
Go ahead, take them.
All right, the Detroit Lions coming off a pretty bad loss to Seattle.
I'll take the other team.
They travel to Minnesota to play the Vikings coming off a loss against the Saints.
Easy picks.
Minnesota is favored by 5.5.
Oh. I'll take the Vikings. God bless the Lions. They're up and down. Fuck Detroit. I'm taking the Vikings.
Yeah, Detroit burned me too much last week with Seattle. I'm taking the Vikings, too.
Got another fucking three-way. Jesus.
I mean, these picks are pretty, like, straightforward. I mean,
I don't know. The game, it was a hard, it was a tough week this week.
All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go.
Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a
which shocker is in the division that the Patriots have been blessed to play in for the last 20 years.
Miami and who?
The New York Jets travel to Miami to play the Dolphins. Both teams coming off losses, I believe, last week.
Of course they were.
Well, yeah. This game is in Miami. The Dolphins are favored by 3.
I believe I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
I'm going to go opposite of you and go with the Jets.
Okay.
Ooh. Well, good.
I was just going to do something different.
Okay.
My initial thought were the Dolphins. I will stick with the Fins.
All right. Now, that's it for Pick'ems, and let's do it. We'll have to make it as quick as possible, even though it's a big game, but let's do a quick Saints preview.
Well, no Pelicans won? I mean, really? We kind of
don't have time, but we're 4-1. We played a night.
80 games to play.
You know, Davis is out again.
But they're winning now.
Yes. they're 4-1.
It is newsworthy because they usually start out like 0-8.
Yeah, right. They're sitting there at 4-1. They played a night against Denver late. Davis has a hurt elbow, so they're being cautious, so he's not playing tonight. And I think Alfred Payton is also sitting out, but they did have a couple of nice wins. You know, after we had recorded last, I went to the game. I think the night after we recorded, and then Friday we got here in Orlando, and it was late, and I checked the score, and we were down 3 with 20 seconds left. So I'm like, okay, yeah, we're going to lose. And then I wake up the next morning, and somehow we won by 3 points. I'm like, how the fuck did that happen?
Magic.
Pelicans are playing well. Watch them if you can, folks. And that was your Pelicans one.
All right.
Yep, that's it.
Preview. Saints play the Rams.
All right. Look, according to everybody
3 o'clock kickoff.
Right. According to everybody else around the world, the Rams are the class of the NFL, undefeated. The only team, you know, but I think every team has kind of pushed them to the brink. They had a tough game in Seattle. Now that's division rivals. I think we've always said, look, division games, throw everything out the fucking window. I didn't think the Packers with Aaron Rodgers not 100% was going to come in there and do what they did. They pushed into a brink. Should have had a chance to win the game, but the Packers tumbled the ball on the kickoff.
Yeah.
LA, the good team.
I mean, you say all the pushing to the brinks and stuff, but kind of like, I think if we were in that situation, we'd be, of course, saying we are the best because we find the ways.
Because you're part good. No, and that is the truth.
Respect
good teams
this team.
Find a way to win.
This is the toughest game.
Well, my point in saying that was, look, the Rams are beatable. They're not going to go 16-0 and you know.
Yeah.
They are definitely beatable. They have flaws.
It's about exposing them, and hopefully the Packers help to map that out for the Saints.
Well, right. I mean, it's like maybe their defense isn't as good as we thought it might be, but, I mean, really this all comes down to, yeah. And it kind of plays in our hands because that's the good part of the defense. It comes down to stopping Todd Gurley. Gurley has 15 touchdowns right now.
And the Saints, which ranked running offense or rushing defense in the NFL? What's our rushing?
Number one.
Okay.
Number one.
If anybody's going to stop Todd Gurley, it's got to be us, right? If football is a game of matchups, we should match up. They're not going to know what to do
at
with
least
themselves.
Well, they'll just throw it at P.J. Williams. but one good thing, Cooper Kupp has been banged up, so he may not play for the Rams. That would be a big miss for them if he doesn't play. Because then we can stick Lattimore and Apple on Woods, Robert Woods, and Brandon Cooks. And I don't know who their third receiver is, but he's got to, you know, I'd feel a lot more scared if it was Cooper Kupp. So, I mean, look, being back in the Dome, it's been a few weeks since we've had a home game. Just, you know, like stop Todd Gurley. That is how you beat the Rams, plain and simple. He's been out of his mind so far. He's already got a 200-yard game, I believe, this year already. So, you know, keep playing good defense. Let's get, you know, let the Rankins keep playing like he has. Davenport the same. The Dome's going to be fired up. I'm assuming we're going to get Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I mean, not that it matters for us, but for Jeff. I mean, this is the game of the week. I know NBC is Green Bay and New England.
Other than the Green Bay New England game, this is the game of the week.
And honestly, I mean, this game shits on that game. This is the game of the week.
You have two bigger names, you know, with Rodgers and Brady. I mean, the Sunday evening games need marquee games also, and we are it. We're definitely it. I'm excited. I mean, this is the team you want to beat. We want the road to Atlanta to go through the Superdome. And this is the team that's one ahead of us now. We get a victory here. We get a half a game lead on, you know.
It's massive.
We have that tiebreaker.
Yep.
So you're going to hear, I think I've said the last couple of weeks, and you're going to hear me say it for the next several weeks. This is an important game.
Every week, you know? it's a bigger step. All right. Thankfully, next week's the trap game, I'm telling you. I said that when we entered the gauntlet, that game after the Rams game is going to be the trap.
Perhaps. And you know what, Jeff? We have to lose one besides, again, the number one seed race.
The Bengals.
The Bengals are the one to lose. AFC, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to take the Rams down and show the league how to beat them, kind of like with Independence Day. We know how to beat the bastard. Get around the world, you know.
That's right. Let's not forget, even though it was preseason earlier this year, we did shut them out 28-0.
Well, yeah.
So we know how to beat the Rams.
I'm not going to put any stock in that.
Right, their starters did not play at all.
That's right. But we know how to beat them.
Our backups know how to beat their backups.
That's right. If it comes down to it.
Like Jason mentioned, it's a 3:30 game. I think it's 3:30.
Yeah, it's probably going to start.
But we don't have many noon games left, folks. I mean, people want to watch this team. The NFL schedule makers did a good job in the offseason, knew that this same team was going to be in competition, and going forward, I know we have two Thursday night games coming up later in the year, and I'm not sure, do we have another Sunday or Monday after that?
We don't have a Monday.
I think it's the two Thursdays, because we've already had a Sunday and a Monday, right?
Yeah.
Right, so about four. I mean, four primetime games for a team not in fucking New York or Dallas is pretty good.
And I mean, and that's assuming our games against Carolina don't get flexed.
Right.
which could happen.
All right, so anything left on score predictions?
Oof, Jesus.
Prediction. Look, Jason did the best last week. He had 31-23.
Oh.
Jeff didn't do too bad. 34-23 for Jeff, and I was really out. I was 38-35. I thought it was going to be a score fest.
Whew. Yeah. I'm
good at picking scores. I can't pick pick'ems.
This week, I'm going to go with I'll go first on this one. I'm going to say 24-23 Saints.
Wow.
I'm kind of changing my attitude. You know, like for beginning of the year with Atlanta, Tampa Bay, we had to put up a lot of points. The defense has come along. Jeff, I think you're right in that the game's going to stay in the 20s, not blow up to 30. But we're going to run the ball, try to control the clock, keep them off the field. So I'll say 27-24.
All right. I'm going 34-27. I think the winner of this game absolutely scores in the 30s.
I mean, you just think about what it's going to take to win. You know, you're going to have points on the board.
I mean, I saw this might be, I don't know if it's the only matchup in NFL history where both teams coming in are averaging more than 33 points a game.
Wow. Probably so, because, I mean, that's a lot, that.
That's a lot, right? That's a lot of points.
Well, the thing is, if our defense gets a little sloppy and lets up too many points, clearly the offense is going to have to respond with more points. So, to that point, we could end up with a 35-35 tie.
Oh, it's
overtime.
I'd be nervous as fuck in that building, but I'm anticipating a lot of points.
I'm anticipating a lot of noise from the home crowd, right? You can play your part.
I will be hoarse on Monday.
Taysom Hill throws a pass?
No, we're going to put him back in the garage in terms of throwing.
All right, well, we'll see.
No, it's just going to be, look, Sean Payton, he said a couple times earlier this year, you know, these shootout games, you're 50-50. And, you know, when that's what you have to do. He wants to, like I said, he's going to want to control the ball, keep the Rams off the field. It's what we did the last 3 weeks, time of possession. Dictate how the game plays out.
I have a feeling, just like the Saints kind of went in with that bully attitude with Baltimore, I think we're going to get that kind of a grit edge to the team this week. And the Rams, I don't think you're going to come in with that. I think the Rams are going to come in all L.A. fancy. We're 7-8-0, and we're so wonderful. Saints are going to come in and punch them right in the fucking mouth. And they're not going to know what to do about it. They're like, you just hit me. And then the Saints are going to hit them again. And they're going to hit them again. I think we're coming in ready to play bloody knuckle Sturb Comp style. Sturb Comp?
Curb Stomp.
What? What did you say?
Curb Stomp. But I mixed it up. Sturb Comped them.
No, but yeah, I mean, again, that is a team. We were so many times labeled finesse, NFL teams don't like that word finesse. You know, I mean, these are big, strong, powerful men who like to hit each other. They don't like the word finesse.
Right.
So what you're saying is the Rams are more of a finesse team like we were in the earlier Sean Payton's year. And now that we've kind of switched to play a smash,
yeah,
not particularly smash mouth football, but
we can win in different ways.
We can win in different ways. We can do what you want to do. We have the running game to do it. We have the fucking greatest quarterback to ever play the game.
Who seems to be playing his best football ever.
Right. So, man, this is going to be a fun game. If you're a Who Dat fan, you better sit in front of your TV and watch. Now, for our cousins over there in England, I wonder what time a 3:30 game is for them.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9:30.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay. They can watch a lot.
Oh, yeah.
9:30 game?
They'll be tanked.
Well, they're always tanked.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of tanked, everybody, hope you have a happy and safe Halloween, followed by a happy birthday to the New Orleans Saints on All Saints Day, and then followed by the Rams Smash Fest on Sunday. Then, in the meantime, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dope Patrol Podcast. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dope Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dope Patrol Podcast.
Tag him.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, yours.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.